1 Corinthians chapter 14. I'm going to cover the last two lessons of our soul winning training. We'll start with the do's and don'ts in soul winning. And then I want to go ahead and talk a little bit about follow-up. Lesson 7, he got saved. Now what do I do? And so we'll begin with lesson 8 if you have your notes. And if not, if you'll listen along. We're just going to give you some very practical teaching tonight as we talk about soul winning. Let's all stand, please, for the reading of this last verse in the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians. What a great verse. And I know it's in reference to the subject matter and the context of the chapter as far as trying to deal with the issue of the unknown tongue. But I think that it has broad application. Here we go. 1 Corinthians 14:40. Let all things be done how? Decently and in order. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to teach this practical material. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to hone our skills. Lord, we want to do things decently and in order as we go out and visit and represent you, primarily also represent our church. Lord, dear God, for many people, this will be maybe their one and only opportunity to have interaction with a member of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And so, Lord, so much is at stake, and we certainly want, dear God, to always be a good testimony for you and, Lord, a good representative of the church. And Lord, please give us opportunities to share the gospel. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Our God is a very organized God. Our God is a God that loves order. It seems like in a world where more and more boundaries are being crossed and more of a casual attitude and more of a tendency for disorder, it's just nice to be a Christian and to realize that God does things decently and in order. If you just want to see a cross-section of humanity, and if you want to in some ways despair, go sit in an airport for about an hour and watch the world fly in and out. And one of the things that you notice is that less in these two areas, people are more and more indecent, and they're more out of order. And, you know, when a hairdo is considered a hairdo, when you actually have to mess the hair up to spray it, it just seems like, watch this, young people, stop getting caught up in every little fad that comes along, okay? I mean, it's still right to comb your hair. It's still right to fix your hair. It's still right to look like, you know, that there was a plan that you had when you laid out your clothes. And they actually are at least somewhat similar in color and put together right and proper. And we just live in a world where it seems like more and more disorder is the goal instead of order, and indecency instead of things done decently. But as in this matter of soul winning, the application being, let's go out and properly represent our Savior. And let's make sure that we just understand there's some things you ought to do when you're out soul winning, and there's things you ought not to do when you're out soul winning. So the do's and don'ts of soul winning, we're going to get right into it. First of all, number one, do go. Preacher, I only had 4 weeks worth of training. I'm not sure I'm ready. Well, let me just say this. It's like most things in life. There's only one way to really learn this, and that's just go. Just get out there and go. If you're brand new, please express that in whatever soul winning program you attach yourself to. I would think nothing. As a matter of fact, I would expect this for someone who's brand new to come in and just kind of pull me off the side and say, preacher, send me with somebody who knows what they're doing. I'm trying to learn all of this. That's how we all started. But there's only one way to learn it, and that's just go. And so the Bible commands us to go. Have a weekly scheduled time for soul winning. Number two, do go in twos. Do go in twos. For encouragement, for accountability, watch this, in this day and age, for protection, for prayer support, and to intercept interruptions, the Lord sent his disciples out, Mark chapter 6, verse 2, two by two, and I think it's just a good standard because it is an encouraging thing, and there is accountability built in. If you know that you have to meet somebody to go soul winning with, you're probably not going to be as prone to not go as if you were just going to go by yourself. And so there's accountability built in. In this day and age, and let me just say this, and I think maybe I'll hit this on the don't, so I'm going to go ahead and say now, one of the standards we have for our teenagers, and I would certainly caution our ladies, folks, we live in a crazy world. And just a steadfast rule I have with our teens, under no circumstances, when they're out soul winning, are they to go in a house. I don't care if there's two of them or not. They are allowed to be on the front step. They're allowed to talk to them at the door. If somebody invites them in, their answer needs to be very kindly, okay? Thank you very much. I appreciate it. But honestly, we need to keep going. We want to hit as many doors as possible. But thank you for being so gracious. And let me leave you the material. And you say, preacher, but it's a 96-year-old woman and she's got cookies. I know. I understand that. But just don't make an exception to the rule. Just decide, folks, because I'll tell you, we just live in a crazy, crazy world. And I would say that same thing to our ladies in this day and age. Just be very careful. Be very wise. Gentlemen, please, if there's only a lady at home, don't ever go in the house. I don't care if there's two of you, three of you, five of you. We just want to make sure all things are done. Listen, the Bible says, don't let your good be evil spoken of. And so just always protect yourself, protect your reputation, protect the reputation of the Lord. Number three, do respect the people and their property. One of the things I remind myself when I go on somebody else's property is I'm their guest. And I should conduct myself as a guest. That means I should treat them properly, and I ought to be kind, and I ought to be considerate. One of the ways I do this, we were trained to do this when I was in Fisherman's Club and learning how to be a soul winner. Do use the sidewalk. You say, well, I'm out in the country. We run across everybody's yard. I'm going to tell you, not everybody in town or even in the country can listen. The yard and the lawn is very sacred to some of them, and to see you just get cut across there, well, they're not looking. There's more people looking than you would imagine and watching you as you go. So never cut across the yard. Teenage boys, no need to jump the flower beds. I'm having memories of doing all these things as a teenager. Many people will watch you from a window as you approach. And by the way, they're very picky about their property. If there's a gate, you open the gate. If it's shut, and you make sure you shut the gate, okay? Because they're going to open that front door, little Fifi's going to run out, and then it's going to run out on the street, da-doomp, you know. Then you're going to be tempted to laugh, and from then on, the entire visit's going to go downhill from there. And so just, you know what, if you open something, hey, this is good training. If you turn a light on, turn it off. If you unlock a door when you leave, okay, you don't have any times. I'll come, my day's off on Thursday. And if I don't come in on a Thursday, which sometimes we don't have to, then I'll come in on a Thursday sometimes, and there's doors standing open in the church and lights on in different places and heat left up. If you turn the heat up, we do not have elves. We do not have gnomes. We do not have little green people that go around and do these things. If you turn it on, you turn it off. If you turn it up, you turn it down. If you unlocked it, lock it. If you opened it, shut it. And that will help. But that's kind of the way you respect people's property. Make sure that you leave everything good. All right? Do smile. And just listen, a genuine smile is your best introduction. Something about a genuine smile. I don't mean a cheesy fake smile. I mean a genuine smile. It puts people at ease. It's the best evidence that you've come for the right reason. And it will help you in your soul winning. Just relax and be smile and be friendly with people. Number six, do clearly identify yourself. And I covered this in our demonstration, but people are hesitant to open the door to strangers. I don't blame them. We're doing these rural visitation. And you know what? Rural people are especially a little bit fearful of that. I mean, some person lives out in the middle of nowhere, can't see the neighbors. There's two strangers on their doorstep. Hey, I don't blame them. If I have a lot of times ladies that open the one door and they keep the screen door locked, and ladies, I would suggest you do that. I don't care where you live. But a lot of times, you know what they'll do? They'll open the door, and they're not going to open that screen door. They're not opening that storm door. They'll say, can I help you? And, you know, that's why I want a card out. That's why I want to, and usually if I show them I'm from Blessed Hope Baptist Church and I introduce myself, Pastor Jerry Ross, properly introduce the other person, almost without fail, immediately they'll unlock the screen door, step out and talk to me. But I don't blame them at all for being that way. So that's why you immediately introduce yourself. I had somebody knock on our door a while back, and they were, I don't remember if they were Jehovah's Witness or a Mormon or a salesman. I don't remember. But I went to the door, and I opened the door, and I said, can I help you? And he said, boy, it's a nice day. And I said, yes, it is. Can I help you? And he said, so how much does this property you own? And I finally just said, sir, Would you tell me who you are and why you're here? And you say, well, preacher, that's rude. No, I'm sorry. In this day and age, I want to know who the guy is and why he's here. He's on my property. All right? So don't do this hem-hawing around conversation. I'm going to sneak up on him. I'm not going to tell him I'm from the church. I'm going to try to know just, I'm from Blessed Hope Baptist Church. My name is, this is so-and-so. We're out visiting for the church. Just be clear to introduce them yourself. And number seven, do get a gospel tract in their hand immediately. Remember, we're trying three different ways to get the gospel. The best thing to do is get the gospel tract to them immediately, and hopefully they'll hold on to it, unless you're Jesse McCammon, and then they may hand it back to you. And I don't know if to tell this story or not. I don't want to discourage anybody from going visiting. Or this could discourage new people, I mean. And I really don't think it's the tracts. I don't think it's the church. Yeah. I don't know what that leaves, but I think there's a problem. But you didn't have Heather with you? That was the issue right there. That was the issue. If Heather would have been with him, it would have been fine. But he knocked on a door over here in Possum Hollow, I think. And a guy came to the door, and he said, give him the gospel tract. And he asked me if I went to church. Yes, I go to a church here in town. He said, you know for sure that you're on your way to heaven? Well, of course. Could you tell me why you know for sure? He hands the tract back to him. Because I don't go to that church, and shuts the door. Say, I know I really ought to be offended, but it was just so funny. I almost want to go meet the guy just to tell him, you know, hey, man, I should not like you. But that was actually pretty funny, man. That was actually pretty good. So anyway, do get the gospel tract in their hand immediately, and hopefully they'll hold on to it. Number eight, do be polite. I wrote this in the notes when I made these notes up. We had an older couple several years ago come to our church, visited on a Sunday night. And I asked them how they found out about the church, and they said two of our teenagers from the church had come by and knocked on their door. And this is what the lady told me. She said, when they left, me and my husband was so impressed with their kindness and their politeness that we'd made up our mind by the time they left that we were going to come at least one time and visit your church. And folks, that just goes a long way. Be ye kind one to another. We talked about imperative statements, commands, and that means, you know what? We don't have a right to be unkind. And so you don't have to agree with everybody. And you know what? Sometimes you're going to have to deal with unkindness from them. But you know what? You never return that. You know, we don't lower ourselves to where other people are. You know what? You say, Brother McCammon, what did he say to that? Well, I think he was kind of a deer in the headlights. He never had that one before, but he kind of recovered and laughed, said, thank the guy, and you know, thank the closed door, I think, and went on to the next thing. But always be kind. Number nine, look them in the eye. Look them in the eye. I'm talking when you're talking to men, when you're talking to ladies, when you're talking to children, you know the proper place to look is in the eye. Don't be shifty-eyed. That makes people uneasy. If you're glancing around them into the house, looking, and you, listen, somebody that can't talk to me and maintain eye contact, I've become suspicious of. And there really is some body language that ought to tell you something about people. And I put in here especially, I'm going to be proper in this in the training, but you young men especially need to hear me on this. When you're talking to ladies, and sadly a lot of the people, hey, folks are lost, okay? But they're going to come to the door dressed in all kinds of ways. And, you know, the honest truth is you need to make sure you keep your eyes where they're supposed to be. You keep eye contact. And I learned that lesson. I can remember it. I was on Sycamore Street here, and I won't go into detail, but me and my dad was out soul winning. I was a teenager. And we knocked on a door, and a lady came to the door just really grossly immodest. I mean, and my dad, I learned a lot by watching Dad handle that. He didn't stand and talk to her. He said, ma'am, we just stopped by. I'll leave you this track right here, and God bless you. And he went on down the road. And he just wasn't comfortable. He just, I don't know what's wrong with this world. I really don't understand it. I really don't. But you know what? Complaining about it doesn't make it go away. And so, he told me, as we were walking to the next house, he said, Jerry, he said, that's going to happen from time to time. When a lady comes to the door, no matter how she's dressed, you always look her in the eye. And I learned that right over here on Sycamore Street in Jacksonville, Indiana. I've used it ever since, and we want to make sure that we do that, okay? And so, number 10, do to deliver the gospel. I mean, that's the goal, folks. There's a difference between visitation and soul winning. And I think if we're not careful, we fall into just a visitation mode. We're just inviting people to try. I say just, that's great. But we're there to deliver the gospel. So remember, give them a track, share your testimony if possible. Go through the New Testament and cover the Romans Road. Number 11, do get accurate and complete information on prospects and new converts. This is probably one of the greatest failings of door-to-door soul winning, because you know what? God is going to lead you to people. And you know, I ran youth soul winning for years, and we'd have kids come back excited about a visit, and they'd say, "But I had a great prospect." And I said, "Okay, what street were they on?" "I don't know." "Well, do you have a number of their house?" "No." "Did you get a name?" "No." "Well, how am I going to find the house?" "Well, it's got a mailbox in front of it, and there's a tree in the front yard, and I think the grass was green." Okay, that's all the information I need. I can go and find them immediately. And so, folks, listen to me. I wonder, remember how decently in an order? I wonder when we get to heaven how many people God put in our path. And just watch this, because of disorganization, because of not having an ink pen on us, because of not using a scrap piece of paper and sticking in our pocket and then thinking it's trash later, if we're not careful, we could lose a prospect, a possible family, someone that could potentially be saved, just because we do not stay organized. So make sure that you get, don't be afraid to ask people information. You had a good visit with them, say, "You know what, I'd really like my pastor to come by and see you, or I'd like some men of the church to come by, and could I get I see your number here, I'm on such and such street, can I get your name, and if you can get a phone number, you know what, pastor likes to call ahead of time, set up an appointment, would you mind giving me a number?" I mean, you know what, get the information, and then we can follow up on it. And then number 12, do give God the glory. If someone gets saved, oh my goodness, and that's an exciting thing, isn't it? And you know what, it's also and should be a very humbling thing. Seeing somebody saved should never make us proud. It ought to humble us, because we know that we plant and water, but God gives the increase. Let me go down through the don'ts on the next page, the back page. Don't knock too loud or too soft. Loud knocking causes people to come to the door either mad or on the defense. And I know it does at my house. If somebody bangs on my door, I stop by the cabinet on my way over and have a pistol standing here, all right? Because you say, "Preacher, I don't think you ought to come by your house. You just seem like you're awful mean." That's the plan, amen? That's the plan. Keep people away as much as possible. But I've also watched people walk up and do this number, you know. "I don't think anybody's home. Let's go," you know, all right? They got to be able to hear you, okay? And so don't knock too loud or too soft. Well, then what does that mean? Somewhere between those two would be the right thing. Don't crowd the door. We talked about knocking and taking a full step back from the door. Don't talk too fast. And we all tend to do this when we're nervous. And so kind of slow down. Teens, don't mumble, okay? I'll put it down here. Teenagers are notorious mumblers, all right? Speak clearly. Now watch this. This is a good lesson for all of us. Speak up, especially when talking to senior citizens, okay? You have to talk a lot louder. If you followed me to a nursing home and nursing home service, those of you that work in nursing homes, you know this is true. I just about double the volume of everything I say when I walk into a nursing home. When I talk to somebody, "How are you today? Are you doing okay?" And then I'll watch their reaction. Some of them still lean forward. You know what that means? They still can't hear you. And so, I don't, you know, be careful. But if somebody comes that's a little bit older, I'm not saying I'll double the volume of my voice, but I'll increase it, because I want them to know who I am and be able to hear me. Don't goof around between the houses. Again, people watch you, and they watch you when you leave. Always be professional. Always be a proper representative of the church. We have to be very careful, number 6, in talking to small children without their parents' permission. And I'll tell you, times have changed. I'd say this, most of you bus ministry people back in the 70s, even the 80s, man alive, we'd be on the street, we'd be talking to kids, handing them flyers, "Where do you live?" And now, because, again, of the culture, and because of the wickedness, of the perverseness of all the things, people are very, very defensive about strangers just walking up and talking to their kids on the street. And so you'll have to use good judgment on that. I say hi to kids sometimes. I'll sometimes be walking along and kids will be playing. I'll say, "Hey, how you doing?" And, "Hey, where do you live?" And they'll point to a house and I'll say, "I'm going to go talk to your mom. You go to church anywhere?" And I'm already walking towards it. I'm trying to get some information. I'm not saying you can't speak to them, but you've got to be careful. and stopping and engaging children in a long conversation. So what I want to do is find out from the kid where they live, and I'm heading immediately to the door. That way, if mama's watching, she sees that I spoke to her kid. She's defensive. She sees them point to the door and see me head right there. She's like, well, okay, he's coming to see us. And that helps. I mean, I've had parents bawl me out for talking to their kids without coming up and introducing them. And you know what? It was a good lesson for me. I think it's something I needed to learn. And so use wisdom on this. Bus workers, use wisdom. I know sometimes you have to interact some, but as fast as you can, get to the parents and make sure they know who you are. I put this on the don't. Teens, don't ever go into a home. Ever, ever, ever go into a home. I honestly have never, don't get frightened too many times, but the handful of times I've been absolutely terrified and scared when I was doing teen sewing. I mean, this maybe happened two or three times in, you know, 11 years of it, is when I drop kids off, especially young ladies, and I'm trying to find them, and they're supposed to meet me at the end of the block, and I can't find them. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I have chewed out teenage girls that stepped into a house, I don't care, for just a few minutes. And I mean, I've chewed them out. If you're not on the corner, I ought to be able to drive down that street I put you on and see you outside somewhere. If I can't do that, I'm in full panic mode at that mind. So you know, don't ever, ever, ever go inside a home, okay? Number 8, don't adults ever go inside a home alone. And again, this takes care when you're visiting in twos, but even if you're in twos, I mentioned, gentlemen, be very careful about when a lady's just at home, just talk to them. And ladies, when a man's just here, same thing. We're commanded to avoid the appearance of evil. And so your testimony is not worth risking. It's just not worth risking. We live in the day of false accusations. Is that the end day sin? Okay, you do something unwise, step in somebody's house, just have a 2-minute conversation, step out. That person could say anything happened in there, and you know what? Some neighbor watched you step in. And you're in this day and age, in this climate, you are guilty until proved innocent. And you can't prove yourself innocent on a false accusation where it's just he said, she said. I'm not putting myself in that situation, okay? I'm just not. And so be careful. Number 10, don't argue. If someone just wants to argue, be polite, lead them a track, and move on. I put in a box over there. Jesus commanded us to go into all the world and preach the gospel, not argue the gospel. The minute I learned that, it was a great moment in my life. You know what? You're not going to argue somebody into being saved. God's either prepped them, prepared them. They're willing to listen, willing to consider. I'm not saying that if they don't have a legitimate question. Nicodemus had legitimate questions. Jesus took the time to answer them. There's a difference between the spirit of the question, if somebody's asking something because they want to know, or asking something so they can argue. When you ascertain that they are there to and just wanting to argue, it's time to move on. God bless you. Here's a track. I hope you read that, and I'm going to move on down the road. And again, be kind about it. Number 11, don't get sidetracked. Stay with the gospel. Again, many unsaved folks will want to get you off on rabbit trails. When you ask a question that would divert you from the gospel message, that's a good question. When I'm finished explaining how to go to heaven, remind me, I'll answer that. Sometimes if it is a question that is a barrier towards them getting saved, you'll have to stop and deal with it. But sometimes it's just an off-the-wall thing, you know, that all of a sudden in the middle of it, they'll say, you know, I was thinking about it. I've been wanting to ask a preacher this, and they asked something that didn't have a thing to do with salvation. And next thing I know, I'm talking about some crazy subject, and I've lost my way. And so be careful about that. Don't take unreasonable risks, okay? How many of you have a little, don't be ashamed of this, a little bit phobia, a little bit of fear when it comes to these big dogs in the yard? There are a few of you. I'm going to put my hand up on that. I'll be honest with you, man. If some of the dogs that I see nowadays, I'm not walking in that gate. You say, well, yeah, but God, you know, he closed the mouth of the lions. Yeah, and I've got a scar on my leg where God didn't close the mouth of a dog in Chicago one time. So, you know, you go ahead, Daniel. I'll be out here. And God bless you, you know. Lord, increase my faith. But, I got bit once out soul winning. I got bit by a dog soul winning. And he took a good chunk out of me. Amen. Say, so you go to the doctor. Nah, real men don't go to doctors. Amen. All right, soul winning. I went to the corner drugstore there. I got the peroxide and I got bandages, and I'm sitting in an alley in Chicago with my pant leg up. pouring stuff on me and doctoring myself and hoping that there's a real dark corner of hell for that dog one of these days where God would send him. So I'm a little more careful than I used to be. All right, the lesson now. He got saved. What now? What do I do, preacher? I'm learning so much and working so hard and trying to learn how to do this, and all of a sudden somebody's going to get saved, and you're going to go yes, and then you're going to think, oh no, now what do I do? You know, I didn't. And so again, let's go through this quickly. Number one, fill out a decision card. Again, proper information is the most important thing that you can do at that point. Take the time to write down the information. We can't follow up on a new convert if we can't find them. Sometimes out in the country, folks, you have to give directions. Write out a little map on a card, on the back of a card. Everything you can so that you make sure that we can find them, or you can find them later. Number two, go over assurance verses. And I like to go over what I call the shall be promise, the sonship promise, and the secure promise. And you can mark those in your Bible. You can write these references in the back fly leaf, assurance verses, and then be able to look back in the back fly leaf, find these three verses. And we want to get them grounded to the idea that, you know what, they are not only saved, but they are saved eternally. And that's very, very important, especially depending on their church background. Then number three, arrange for the new convert to attend church with you. Now, I'm going to tell you one of the great things that you can do. The very first time, you say, well, they live on a bus route, and I'll just give their name to a bus captain. All right, let me just say this. If you work in a bus ministry, it's going to be very difficult for you to go pick up your converts. I realize you're busy on Sunday morning. But I think one of the key ways of getting people to church the first time is not hand them off to a bus worker the first time, but be willing to drive over, set up a time, get their phone number, and you personally pick them up. They can say, well, we got a car. Well, I know you do, but let me pick you up the first time. Again, if somebody's coming to get you, you got a tendency to get up and get ready. If you told the guy, well, I'll meet you at the church, the devil's going to sit on their shoulder and tell them all the reasons why they'll go next Sunday or the Sunday after. And so I try to arrange to pick that person up for church. And a lot of times the best way to do that is to simply say, you know what, afterwards, after church, instead of, if you'd like to and you got the time to, we'd love to have you come by to our house and share a meal with us before we run you home and get to know you a little better. And, you know, reach out to them, okay? Number three, dealing with baptism. For teenagers and many new soul winners, the best way for them, I'm just going to read this, to get their converts baptized is to accomplish two things first. Number one, get them to church. Number two, go up with them during the invitation to walk through their public profession. I think it's very good to kind of leave it up to the pastor to talk to them about the next step of baptism. When we have a new convert, to talk to them about that, and then you can later on reinforce it. But you know what? Again, people have different concepts about baptism, what it is, what it isn't, infant baptism, all these different things. It opens up a lot of questions. I think that a public profession ought to be your goal. Bring the convert with you, have them sit with you in church during the invitation, bring them forward. Hey, we want to go up and tell the pastor about your decision. Talk to him on the way about that. Would you be willing to do that? It's what we do at our church. One of the first things God wants you to do is make it public. And then allow us to talk to them about baptism. That would probably be the best thing to do. If the convert is a minor, and this is something we follow, the letter of the law, it's here. Always secure parental permission before baptizing any minor, anybody that's underage. Absolutely will not do it unless I look at the bus captain. They tell me, I've talked to their parents. I eyeballed. It's not the kids said. Well, they said that my mom said it's okay. Well, all right, that's great. Now you go talk to the mom. You need to hear it from them. You need to make sure we get clear. Now think again about this, folks. Again, don't let your good be speaking evil spoken of. Okay, we've got to take these children back to get them ready to be baptized, all right? Without me going into detail, you know what that means? Now, they go home and say, they took me in a room and I had to undress. Are you thinking like, I mean, don't open yourselves up for that. And a lot of times what I'll do is when I'm talking to them about baptism, I go into detail. This is how we do. We have baptismal robes. Ladies, talk to the young ladies about what they need to bring. Men, talk to the young men about what they need to bring. But again, let's make sure things are done decently in order. Don't let your good be evil spoken of, all right? Number five, build a friendship. I think the worst thing in the world is to win somebody to Christ, get them to church, get them baptized, and then just basically break communication with them. You know what? If you're going to reach people long term, you've got to develop relationships with them. Go out of your way to include a new convert. Have them sit with you. Introduce them to your friends. Get them involved in next church activity. I said this, and I'll just kind of brag on a guy, but I said this to Heath the other day. We were spending some time together, and I said, one of the things I've noticed about Heath is that he looks for people that come in that don't have a connection here. And I don't know how many times I've looked up, Heath, and saw you talking to a man that's a visitor and saying, hey, would you like to sit with me? And he told me, he said, hey, I used to be that guy. I know what that feels like. Now, folks, listen to me. That ought to be every member of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Okay, don't just stare at first-time visitors. Don't just sit there. They're in the middle of the aisle. They don't know where to go. They don't know where to sit. And I've got, 150 people looking at them and staring at them. And not one person can stand up and say, hey, would you like to come over and sit with us? By the way, my name's so-and-so. I've literally almost stopped singing, opening assembly, to go down and rescue some kid or some teenager that's standing in the middle of the aisle just looking lost while everybody's staring at them. Please, let's just do that. Take care of that. Reach out to that kid. They'll never forget you. That you were the one that stepped up and made them feel welcome and it's friendly. You say, preacher, I don't have a lot of gifts. And I feel like sometimes, you know what a ministry just that is? That's a huge ministry. Just the reach out to somebody, look for new people, just get them to set by you, get them to know them, build a friendship. It's just a tremendous thing to do. And so let's reach out and do that, all right? And then number six, ground them spiritually. If possible, buy them a Bible, okay? We sell Bibles back in the bookstore. I think if you took your new convert back there afterwards and bought them a Bible, get them a good Bible, I think that's a wonderful thing. They may have one, but it's probably not going to be a King James if they do have one. And so what a good thing to do is just to say, if you say, hey, do you have a Bible? Yeah, I got one. Well, let me do something. I'd just like to be able to get you a Bible so we could write into it a brand new Bible for the new start in your Christian life. And I want to write into the day you got saved and let me go do that. Well, that way you know that you've got the right Bible in their hands now. And they're going to tend to carry the Bible that's the newest and the nicest. That's what we do. And so that gets the right Bible in their hand. And so you can spend some time recording on the presentation page, their Salvation Day. And then I would include a Bible reading chart. If they're a teen, we have teen devotional books available. And so all of that. Now get them involved in church. Get them involved in a Sunday school class. Get them involved in soul winning program. You mean new converts? Yeah. Go check out Saul of Tarsus after he got saved. What did he do? Oh, he waited 2 years before he went and told anybody. And the next day he was in the town proclaiming Jesus Christ. And I'm just saying, you know what? One of the best ways to help people to grow is to get them involved. Listen, new converts are excited. They want to tell people. And so get them involved in soul winning. Train them. Have them come with you. Have them take you to some of their family members and friends and introduce you to people. Use them to find other people that need Jesus. And then I wrote this at the end. Be patient with them. Be patient with new converts, okay? And I think we do a good job of that here. But let me just say this, folks. I'm glad we're an old-fashioned, independent, fundamental Baptist church that stands right. I'm glad we're a separatist church. I'm glad we have standards. I'm glad of all that. But listen to me, folks. You know what? You never got to where you are now overnight. And it's unfair to dump a whole truckload on a new convert. Folks, listen. What's the first step of obedience? Baptism. Let's deal with that first. Okay? Then what's after that? Church membership. Then what's after that? You know what? In this day and age, I said this, we don't take people from zero anymore. We take them from negative something. And are we eventually going to deal with stress issues and some of the other outward things? Let me just say this, folks. If we help them with the inward things, all of that will eventually come on out to the outside. Sometimes we're so worried about trying to get a new convert looking like us that they don't even understand what they're doing. Listen, watch this. Trust the Holy Spirit. Trust the preaching of God's and teaching of God's word. Okay, you know what? How did God deal with you? How does he still deal with you? You know what he does? He comes and he deals with you with one issue, one item at a time in your life. And you know what? A small step for a new convert, what we might think is a small step, is a huge victory in their life. Celebrate it with them, and be patient with them. I want our church to be a separatist church. I want us to have standards. I want us to be what we are. But I also want to make sure our church has an environment where new converts can come and grow at their pace, and that's okay. All right, that's okay. And so help me out on that, okay, folks? Somebody you don't feel like's changed enough or going fast enough or haven't dealt with something that's bugging you, stop. Pray for them, okay? The best way to get them to where they need to go is just love them. It really is. Just love them. Befriend them, okay? Take them from where they're at. Just become a real genuine friend to them. And they don't need my sermon from the pulpit and your sermon in the foyer, you know? They need my sermon in the pulpit and your friendship and love in the foyer. And so if you'll consistently do that, then you know what? I think God's going to be able to continue to use our church as a place where Christians can not only be saved, but grow in grace. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for the time where we were able to just have a teaching time here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And I pray, Lord, as we now have gone through these weeks of preparation, Lord, preparing ourselves and, Lord, honing our skills, and for some, Lord, learning for the first time how to win a soul to Christ. Now, Lord, help us just go out and get busy in the harvest fields. And, Lord, our new soul winning opportunities this week, Lord, as we're kicking them off in March. And then yesterday, the first time for our real soul winning visitation. And, Lord, thank you for the opportunities, and thank you for those that have gotten involved, and thank you for those Shinest Lights hospitality ministry and the bus of visitation, dear God. Sunday schools going, teachers going out and finding their students and meeting their brothers and sisters and befriending their parents, Lord. And Lord, we're going to begin a process tomorrow where we've got now a backlog of visitors and first-time visitors that we can begin now to go and meet people. Lord, help us, dear God, please, to be filled with the Spirit of the Lord. May we, Lord, reflect the personality, Lord, and the purity of Christ. And dear God, I pray that you'd help us to go out as clean vessels and use us, Lord, with all of our frailties, with all of our weaknesses, Lord. Lord, even with all, dear God, sometimes of our shortcomings, we pray, Lord, that you'd please put your good hand upon us and use us to bring others to Christ. We pray these things in Jesus' name.